This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
And good morning and welcome to Saturday Magazine. Hope you're awake. Well, you probably are because you're listening to us. It's great to have Katie back. How are you, Katie?
Hi, Maka. I'm really well.
It's a lovely day and we've got a jam-packed show. For those who may be listening for the first time, Saturday Magazine is a magazine show on Saturday. And
no.
Yes. And we have lots of guests and we have regular guests. And today we've actually got a bit of a treat for you because the La Trobe University Choral Society is going to come in and give us some live singing, and I actually just heard them downstairs practicing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fantastic. And people walking along the street are like, WTF, what's going on there? So we've got that. We've got a little chat with Dog Pollard. We've got Mark Hawthorne, the business editor of The Age. Look, we've got sport with Tanya near the end of the show. We've got technology with David Eccles. So
everything you could ever want for your Saturday.
We have. Now, the interesting thing is, we were talking before we came on air about, I think, what we would regard as a bit of lack of decorum and respect that is creeping into society. And one of the things we're going to talk about is Twitter.
Yes.
And how, basically, you know, people tweet. And if you want to tweet us, you can at SatmagJoy949, or you can SMS 0427Joy949. Ring 1300JOY949 or email onair at joy.org.au. But Twitter, I call it unsocial media.
Oh, no,
yes.
Mecca.
Yes.
No. I'm obsessed and I adore Twitter. We can have a robust argument if
yes,
you want.
Yes, a full and frank exchange of views. One of the issues that I think Twitter contributes to, I think it contributes to social isolation.
No, you're
because
completely
people,
wrong.
People don't actually have oral conversations.
No. Let me set you straight there.
Okay. Smack.
Twitter leads to friendships and contact with people who share your views or that you have robust arguments with on Twitter from all around the world. Since I've been on Twitter, I have visited people in LA that I met on Twitter and I've been to their homes and become friends with them. There are people in Melbourne that I've made contact with who I've met on Twitter and have become real life friends with and go out for coffee with, have great discussions with. So that's completely the opposite of what you're saying.
Well, your little group is the exception then.
No, I don't think it is.
Because we got this, we saw there's a gentleman who's producing limited edition toilet rolls.
Yes, I know. This has been all over Twitter this week.
All over Twitter, and I'm sure people won't be too offended. You can get four rolls, I think, for $35, and it's called Shitter. And you can have a different feed printed on it. So, I mean, I think it's fantastic. I think it's
it's hilarious. But you have the wrong impression of Twitter. People who don't use Twitter think it's a bunch of rubbish, and it's not. I tell you what, this week I had a fantastic discussion with Helen Razor.
She's pointing.
I had a fantastic discussion with Helen Razor about the mass gay wedding that was on Adam Hills.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Because Helen was not in favour of it. She has a big objection to, as she calls them, performing gays on television, which is a fair point.
Well, professional poofters, professional dykes.
Yeah. Whatever. I said, look, I think Adam Hills' heart was in the right place, and I thought it was good to keep the issue in public consciousness, that anything that keeps it in public consciousness and raises discussion is a good thing. She disagreed with me, but we had a very interesting talk on Twitter, and it was great.
Well,
that was not a discussion about nothing.
I tell you what, every person this morning that tweets SatMag, right, I'll donate $5.
Go for it.
And that money will go to the tech drive.
That is a brilliant idea, Macca.
So if you want to contribute, but you want to tweet us at SatMagJoy949, you can say something appropriate.
The challenge is there, people.
The challenge is there. $5 for every tweet. Okay.
Right, I'm going to tweet this out on my feed. But, Macca, you know that I'm the official tweeter for Joy, don't you?
I do. I know. Well, I thought, well, God, if anyone can tweet, you can.
At Joy949 is the official Joy Twitter. And yes. I hope that all our listeners who are Twitter people follow us.
Yeah.
Because I try and do my best. I took over the Twitter about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
When there wasn't a single person driving it, and I have tried very hard
It's been an interesting time, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've tried to give Joy a voice, a consistent voice, on the social media, and it seems to be working, because when I took over we had 1,300 followers, and now we have close to 3,300.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, I hope all of them don't tweet, otherwise I'll be... I'll put a $500 limit on it, okay?
Brilliant.
Okay. So, if you're a tweeter, at SatMagJoy949, $5 I'll pay for each tweet, regardless of content, unless it attacks Katie. If it attacks Katie, it's $10.
Thank you, Macca.
And if it attacks Shapower, it's $15. Oh, hang on, they're all tweeting. They're all tweeting.
Oh, boy, we're going to reach this total in half an hour, I reckon.
We are. Now, the other thing that we were talking about is the decline or perhaps... The increase of the use of inappropriate language in public spaces.
Yeah. And as I said to you, we're both people of a certain age, and I'm very wary of coming across as a crotchety old woman who tells teenagers to get off her lawn.
Yeah.
I actively am conscious of not being that person. And so when I hear bad language on public transport, and I use public transport every day, and I hear it a lot, with seemingly no care as to who's around.
When no change in expression.
No, just, they don't care about whether there are little kids listening or old people who might be offended. They just go ahead and do it, and they seem to have no concept that they are using inappropriate language.
Why do you reckon it is?
Honestly, I don't know. And because, you know, when I was brought up, it was,
who can we blame?
Don't use that kind of language in public. It's completely bad, and, you'd get smacked.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I honestly don't.
And it's... But people's lack of consideration for others manifests itself in all sorts of ways.
It does, yeah.
When you actually live, you know, where I live, and I have the misfortune to have a neighbour quite close, who make a lot of noise, and one actually over the back fence, which is a lovely group of young girls. And I've got to tell you, the language, when they're sitting in their backyard...
They're in their private space.
Yeah, it's not, because it's...
Oh, okay.
It really carries, and it's actually quite extraordinary. Whether they speak like this in front of their, their parents, whatever... Now, we've got one here about Twitter. Twitter has enabled me to follow journalists and see what they really...
Say again, sorry.
Here's a message.
Yep.
Twitter has enabled me to follow journalists and see what they're really thinking, and it leads to some great articles and gossip and intellectual discussionists. Great for news nerds, yes?
That is totally true.
Oh, here we go. Sorry, I completely disagree with Macca on this one. Katie is on the money. Twitter is amazing. I've met so many like-minded people whom, if it weren't for Twitter, I'd never have met. My parents hate Twitter as well, and it's because they don't use it and don't understand it. Matt, well...
Yes, Matt, exactly.
Matt, $5, tweet that.
Matt, I get into trouble with my family because, one of my brothers uses Twitter and he gets it, but the others, they're like, how can you do that and pay attention to us? And I'm like, well, I can do both.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
Well,
I don't tweet when I'm in their presence anymore.
It's a fantastic segue to the tech drive, which we're trying to raise money to improve the facilities in Studio 4. And the reason that's important is because it's the quality of our broadcast, it's the quality of the sponsorship announcements we record, it's the quality of the pre-records, it's the quality of what you're listening to. So, $5 for each tweet, and with a limit of $500 for today.
Tweet to SatMagJoy949.
SatMagJoy949. And we might even read them out, so...
Awesome.
Stay tuned. We've got some important stuff coming up. You're with Katie and Macca on SatMagJoy949.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Of course, you are on Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9. Macca and Katie. Now, Doug Pollard gets involved in lots of stuff. He's a very, very well-known journalist and does a lot of work for Joy. And he's holding a Rainbow Forum. Now, Doug, are you there?
Yes, I am indeed.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Doug.
Hi, Katie.
Are you wearing your suit?
Not today.
Not today? So, tell us about the Rainbow Forum, Doug.
Oh, well, we've got a couple of Rainbow Forums coming up, actually. I'm doing one on Saturday the 14th of April, and I'm doing another one on Monday the 16th, so I'm really, really busy. The one on Saturday the 14th is a family forum. We're getting together a whole group of experts and people in a sort of Jenny Brocky Insight-style program, taking over the SatMag slot, in fact. And we're going to be talking about marriage and the law and politics in relation to, and getting a lot of sort of thoughts and interplay. We've got doctors, we've got lawyers, we've got clergymen, all sorts of people.
Now, how are you going to manage the different views, Doug? Because that's going to be quite challenging, isn't it?
It is, but I'll be the one with the off switch for the roving microphone.
Just for a change. How many people are you expecting?
Well, we're still finalising the guest list at the moment. We've already got about 10 people. We're hoping to get some more couples to come in and join in. We've set a maximum of 20 people because it is for 2 hours. So, you know, lots of people will want to get their views in, and there will be lots of discussion. So.
Yeah, so as you said, it's Saturday the 14th of April, and you're actually taking the SatMag spot. It's reluctantly surrendered, but it is for a great discussion and forum. What sort of result, or you know, would you like to get out of it, Doug?
Well, the idea really is to put out a lot of information for same-sex couples who are thinking of taking the plunge, whether it's a civil partnership, recognition as a de facto, going overseas to get married, you know, all the implications, as it were, of tying the knot in whatever form with somebody else. And, of course, once the show's been done, it'll be available as a podcast, and it'll be a resource for people to go back to.
Excellent. That sounds really wonderful. So you'll be getting a diverse group of people, different ages, different...
Yep, we're trying to get as diverse a group together as possible.
Yep.
To cover as many angles as possible.
And will there be well-known people from the community as well?
Yeah, there'll be some famous names in there and some not so famous. But as I say, I'll keep that quiet just for the moment until
okay.
We've got the guest list finalised. And it won't be the last one because we're following up on in May with one about parenting and another one in June about surrogacy.
Fantastic.
So by the time we've done the three, we'll have covered, you know, the three main issues around getting together and raising a family, basically.
I think it's a great concept and... you know, to broadcast it also, it's good. It makes for good radio, Doug.
Well, I hope so. You may remember some years ago we took the Rainbow Report on the road with a live audience down at the Glasshouse.
Mm.
And we had the same similar kind of format. We had a bunch of experts, but we also had a studio audience there and a roving mic. And that actually won awards. So, you know, it's a proven concept. It works. And as you say, it makes good radio. And it also makes a resource for people. So, you know, it's a win-win, really.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Well, look, thanks very much, Doug. Now, Doug, have you tweeted SatMag yet so you can make me extract $5 out of my wallet?
Okay, I will do. Can I just say one more thing?
Sure.
I'm doing another... another forum, but this one is I'm doing with Equal Love, and that's in the cooling room upstairs at Joy on Monday, the 16th of April. So stick that in your community roundup for me, if you wouldn't mind.
We will. Okay, Doug, well, everyone should tune in at 10 a.m. on Saturday, the 14th of April.
Yep.
And I'll look forward to it. I'll be listening.
Good. All right. We look forward to hearing some tweets from you then.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you. Bye.
You're on SatMag. Joy 94.9. We've had 7 tweets so far, so that's $35 poorer I am. And that goes to our tech drive to rebuild. or to update Studio 4.
If you've just tuned in, Doug and I had a bit of a discussion about Twitter earlier, and he's not a fan, and I am. And he said, well, if people want to put their money where their tweets are, if you tweet @MagJoy949 during the show this morning, Doug is going to donate $5 to our
Macca
picture.
Is.
Sorry, Macca, not
if
Doug.
You can get,
sorry,
if
Doug.
If you can get $5 out of Doug, I'll double it. Doug Pollard, it says here, is an SMS, is the John Fain of gay media. Love him. Such a wonderful show.
Oh, that's great.
Quick one, Re, bad language in public could be a case of their parents using bad language so they don't know it's bad language. Or the other reason is they're being rebellious and doing it for shock value and don't think about kids, young kids hearing. That's from John of Elstonwick. And there's the one that disagreed with me, so I won't read that. You're on SatMag with Macca and Katie on Joy 94.9. Keep it coming.
Saturday Magazine, every week from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Of course, you are on Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9. Now, here's a special treat for you. The La Trobe University Choral Society, they're in the studio. And
some of them are.
Some of them are, and they're panting. But I want to know a little bit about the Choral Society, and we have Barry Gratian, who's the...
No.
No, we don't have Barry.
No.
We have a much younger and better looking person than Barry.
Well, I don't know what Barry looks like. So.
Sorry, I'm an old friend of Barry, so I can say that.
No. Yeah, no, I'm Nathan. I'm the
Nathan.
President, as opposed to our illustrious conductor.
Yes, Barry would be the conductor, and as I said, an old friend of mine. Nathan is the president. Is that right?
Yep.
And tell us about La Tux.
Well, we're a university choral society at La Trobe.
Based at Bundoora?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We rehearse every week.
Put on concerts.
Yeah. We're having a jazz concert this May.
Nice. And how many members are there?
We have about 15 or 25 that come along to rehearsals.
Nice size. And are they all students, or do you have staff as well?
Mostly students. We've had a couple of staff last year. We also have some community members.
So it's basically open to everyone?
Yeah.
And are there auditions?
No, we're not auditioned at
no
all.
No auditions. How fabulous. Yeah. So it's a real community choir in that sense. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Now, what are you... Do you have some old favourites? Or I'm always interested in our choral society. Is there... are there a couple of songs, might be the right word, but... that are a good test of a choral society?
I don't know about a test. I know there's a few songs that are old favourites of all the choral societies, uni choral societies around Australia. But
I confess here that I'm an ex-member of university choral societies, and I know all those songs. There's a network of university choral societies around Australia.
Yep.
And
sing at pubs.
Sing at pubs. Some of the songs are rude, some are not. And it's always a great thing to get together because people from all over Australia know the same songs, right?
Yeah, there's a festival coming up in Melbourne in July.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So there'll be lots of people out in the streets singing.
Well, what do you reckon, Katie? I reckon we should let them get on with it. What do you think?
Yeah, what are you going to sing for us?
What are you going to do for us? What are you
We're singing a couple of songs from that we sung at the La Trobe Pride Week last week.
Ah, recent Pride Week, which Joy did an outside broadcast at.
So we have... a couple of old tunes with alternate lyrics that are we sort of made up.
Relevant.
A little hastily, but yeah. the first one, it's to the tune of Tannenbaum, O Christmas Tree. I guess we can call it the Rainbow Banner.
Excellent. All right, so we've got some members of the La Trobe University Choral Society here to sing live in the studio for us. On Joy.
Go for it.
The rainbow banner marches forth with colours bright and ominous. Beneath its hills are welcome all, delighting in great freedom's call. For lesbian and bi and gay and ITQ. Today, so sad. liberty. The rainbow banner marches forth with colors bright and all diverse. Beneath its whirls are welcome all, delighting in great freedom's call.
Wow. Another one? What have you got for us?
We've got another one. It's to the tune of Singa Bahambio, an African spiritual. We're also with alternate lyrics.
Fantastic. Take it away.
La Trobe is having his pride, we are proud to be here singing loud. A rainbow crowd, La Trobe is having his pride, we are proud to be here singing loud. A rainbow city, alleluia, city, alleluia, city, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
GLBITQ, welcome on campus here, 'cause we're a rainbow crowd, we're rainbow proud. GLBITQ, welcome on campus here, 'cause we're a rainbow crowd, we're rainbow proud.
City,
alleluia,
city,
alleluia,
city, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
And if you want to come out now,
here at La Trobe, you know we're safe and free. See he and she. And if you want to come out now, here at La Trobe, you know we're safe and free. See he and she. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
La Trobe is having its Pride Week,
and we are proud to be here singing loud. A rainbow crowd, La Trobe is having its Pride Week, and we are proud to be here singing loud. A rainbow crowd, alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. I'm so impressed. I'm tone deaf and I couldn't sing to save myself. So thank you so much. That was fantastic.
Members of the La Trobe University Choral Society under the direction of Barry Gratian. Thank you for coming in. And I reckon that first one could become a bit of an anthem.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thanks. Cool.
You're on SatMag, Joy 949.
Saturday Magazine, every week from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
QNN Community Network News. I'm Anthony Smeaton.
And I'm Matthew Hepburn. Confusion surrounds the future of same-sex civil unions in Queensland after Liberal National Party leader Campbell Newman was propelled to power in a landslide victory last weekend. Mr. Newman promised during the election campaign to consider repealing civil union laws which came into effect earlier this month. But the new Queensland Premier is yet to publicly clarify whether he'll follow through.
I'm saying to you, we will look at it in the first few months of being in government.
PFLAG spokeswoman Shelley Argent has already flagged the possibility of legal action, protests and a boycott of Queensland tourism by the gay and lesbian community in the event of any repeal. Queensland-based gay rights advocate Philip Brown told QNN same-sex couples faced a waiting game to find out whether the unions would be quashed.
There's a lot of shock and confusion and concern in the community. The concern is that in the new government there's really no effective opposition because the LNP has got such a major control of the parliament with so many of the seats going to LNP. Certainly the threat is there and the threat is very, very real.
Some of the country's most high-profile gay marriage advocates are calling on Aussies to voice their opinions about the upcoming Senate inquiry into marriage equality. With less than a week to go until submissions close, two of the outspoken supporters calling on people to have their say are Shelley Argent, the national president of PFLAG, as well as Australian Marriage Equality's Alex Greenwich.
Every Australian who supports this reform has the opportunity to share their story, to share the reasons why they support marriage equality. equality, to share the facts and figures behind our argument and to refute the arguments that have been put up against marriage equality.
And with the latest on a gay hate truck, here's Nathan Partenza.
Protesters are expected to greet Peter Madden's gay hate truck when it arrives in Sydney this Sunday, after similar receptions in Brisbane and Lismore. About 500 chanting pro-gay marriage protesters outnumber the 12 attendees of the prayer rally in Brisbane, causing them and the infamous truck to retreat. Sydney Rally co-organiser Kat Rose, a community action against homophobia, says the peaceful rally would show Madden's message is out of step with the community. The counter-rally will be held this Sunday from 3pm at Hyde Park North.
MPs in Finland have put forward an amendment to the country's Marriage Act in an attempt to legalise gay marriage. Considered one of the most conservative Nordic nations, there's already a relationship register in the country for same-sex couples, which has been in place since 2002. As well as allowing same-sex couples to marry, the amendment would allow gay couples to share a surname and adopt children.
Two US men who were arrested on board a gay cruise while docked in Dominica last week have pleaded guilty to indecent exposure. Police were alerted to the men by people on shore who claimed to see them having sex on their balcony. John Robert Hart and Dennis J. Mayer, both from California, were charged with buggery, the local equivalent of sodomy and indecent exposure.
They said that there were witnesses that said that we were possibly engaged in sexual contact. We weren't engaged in sexual contact. We were naked on the balcony.
The men have been forced to pay a $2,400 fine and said the experience was horrible.
Madonna has slammed the Russian government's new laws against homosexual propaganda and says she'll speak up for gay rights when she visits the country for her upcoming world tour. The law, which has been condemned internationally, imposes fines on people who promote homosexuality to those who are under 18. Speaking via her official Facebook page, Madonna called the legislation a ridiculous atrocity and said she'll speak up for the gay community when she plays in St. Petersburg.
And briefly in other news, and the producers of the new TV musical drama series Smash have been honoured by gay and lesbian watchdog group GLAAD for the show's positive depiction of healthy gay relationships.
And to QNN Sport, here's Tanya Lewis.
Over 7,000 torchbearers have been named for the London 2012 Olympics, including gay sports figures. And critics have hit back at the brother of out gay footballer Justin Fashanu after he claimed his famous brother was pretending to be gay for publicity and money.
Thanks, Tanya. If there's a story out there you'd like to hear on QNN, then let us know. Email us on qnn@joy.org.au. That's QNN for this week. I'm Matthew Hepburn.
And I'm Anthony Slayton. We'll have more for you next time on Community Network News.
This has been a news and current affairs program from the Joy Studios in Melbourne. For more gay and lesbian content, please go to joy.org.au.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, of course, with Macca and Katie. If you want to send us a message, 0427-JOY949, you can phone 1300-JOY949. You can email onair@joy.org.au. And if you want to empty $5 out of my wallet, I will give $5 for every tweet that goes to @SatmagJOY949 before midday. But there is a limit of $500.
They're pouring in.
Because Katie's just put it out on the Joy Twitter.
@Joy949.
Yeah. So I think to date we've got 12, so that's $60.
We can do better, people.
Much as I'm very attached to my money, I would love to be able to put $500 towards our tech drive to rebuild Studio 4.
Yes, which is where we produce all our fabulous community service announcements for free for community groups.
Absolutely. And also a lot of our sponsorship announcements are recorded there. And if you listen to them, they are professional.
They are very professional.
And that's because we put a lot of work into them. And the quality is directly impacted by the technology we use. So we need more. We need more.
Now, tweet @SatmagJoy949.
Talking about a bit of quality, we have in the studio the business editor of The Age and also of the Canberra Times now, Mark Hawthorne. Good
Done
morning,
a bit of
Mark.
Empire building during
bit
that.
Bit of empire building, yes, spreading it around. How are you?
Very good. Very good, thank you.
Now, talking about spreading it around, I saw during the week that Melbourne Airport is it $1 million a day from car parking?
Our airports nationally now make, I think, $1 million a day out of airport parking. I think it's something that resonates with everyone who has to go out there. They all have slightly different models. So, in fact, Melbourne's a very good airport if you want to go for a lengthy holiday. You can park for about $80 or $90 for a week. I think Sydney Airport's around at $160 to $170 for a week.
Do they charge you to drive past the airport in Sydney? Macquarie haven't worked out how to do that yet.
No, but I'm sure once the technology's available, it will be installed. Melbourne has a slightly different model. I think anything past 20 minutes at Melbourne Airport, and I fail to see how anyone but an Olympic athlete could pick up someone from Melbourne Airport in 20 minutes. And the parking's astonishing. So just to put it in perspective, for an airport, Melbourne now, 20% of their total income comes from airport parking. And the whopping margin on that, we've worked out yesterday, is 70% of that is profit.
Wow.
Gouging.
Yeah, that's a word that could be used.
Yeah. Well,
I'm gobsmacked.
It's extraordinary. Really? And, of course, you know, purely in the interest of road safety, Vic Roads have put all those nice little motorcycle decapitating barriers, not just in the middle of the road in some areas, but on the side of the road now.
To stop you parking?
To stop you parking. Oh, no, but it's a road safety initiative, Mark. Don't be cynical.
Now, next time you drive the airport, this will put it in perspective. All of those cars you see parked on the side of the road, out in that vast car park, just think of every one of those spots as almost $6,000 per year to the airport.
Oh, my God. I can't even speak.
It's appalling. It's appalling, isn't it? Now, there was something else that we chatted about during the week, you and I, and I think it's pretty interesting. HIV has always been an important issue and a front and centre issue for our community, but it's not just the gay community, the GLBTIQ community, that is impacted by this. It's the heterosexual community too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, last weekend I lost a very good friend and former colleague in Vince Lovegrove. I met Vince back in the mid-1990s when I worked in London. He was there basically to escape, is fair to say. We spent 18 months of our lives basically working for a small Aussie backpacker magazine down in Earl's Court in London. But I think a lot of people will remember Vince. Well, he's well known for his early career where he was co-front man of the Valentines with a guy named Bon Scott. He managed the Divinyls. He, in fact, introduced Bon Scott to AC/DC. He had a tremendous life, but when he was managing the Divinyls, he met an American actress, Susie Sidewinder, and I think a lot of people, probably more of our vintage, Macca, will remember a documentary in 87 called Susie's Story.
I do, yeah.
Susie, unknown at that period, was HIV positive. They had a son, Troy, and in utero, Troy contracted AIDS, and he made two documentaries, one about the last days of Susie's life, Susie's Story in 1987, and A Kid Called Troy in 93. And I think they were very important. I think anyone who grew up in that period in the 80s, I mean, this was the era of Grim Reaper ads. Mm. This was the era of great stigmatisation of AIDS and HIV. You know, this was a homosexual disease, a drug user's disease. And I think what Vince's first documentary did, which he didn't want to make, it was Susie who wanted that made, was bring it home to sort of middle-class Australia that this is something that can affect everyone.
Yeah, and I was previously CEO of People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria, and I had quite a large involvement with Straight Arrows and Positive Women, and I have to say it opened my eyes because I predominantly focused, obviously, on the epidemic amongst gay men, but that out in the straight community, it's probably an even more taboo topic, and one that people don't want to address. So, I mean, making those films all those years ago was pretty gutsy.
Pretty gutsy, and I guess it was a tribute to Susie, and that's what Vinnie would talk about in London on occasion. It's not a subject, you know, you raise unless the person happens to mention it, but he campaigned for AIDS and HIV awareness all the time that I knew him, and the main thing he said was Susie, you know, she reacted to the ads, to the views of the time, and just wanted her story told.
Well, Vale Vince.
Vale Vince.
Vale Vince.
Vale.
Vale, yes.
Vale?
Oh, Vale. Vale, Vale.
I'm sorry. Language pedant here.
I know. Sorry. Now, elsewhere on business, we see retailers are in a lot of Twitter. And basically what we're seeing is people seem to be, I mean, obviously there are still people in the shops, but people are deserting bricks and mortar and they're going to clicks and mortar.
Yes.
There's been a big increase in the amount of money that people are saving, not just in Australia, but around the world. But what sort of a figure in Australia have we seen in that? Have you got any sort of a handle on that?
Yeah, we got the data today. So we had a really good week. I mean, Shannon here says I come in with doom and gloom every week, but the share market went through a good psychological barrier. It's 4,300 points. And when it tests a new level, the market often comes back. It went through 4,300 points this week and it stayed above that figure, which is good. But to put it in perspective, since the GFC, Australians, and mainly through our super savings and the funds we're part of, have pulled $50 billion out of the share market, which sounds terrible. This is why share prices are depressed. But at the same time, Australians and our funds and various other forms have deposited $210 billion of cash in banks. So we've paid down our mortgages, we've topped up our savings accounts, so we're quite a smart and savvy nation when it comes to finances here in Australia, and I think that's probably due to the fact that we were world leaders in mandated superannuation. I think people are clever. They've looked around the world, said things are pretty tough, and they're cashing up and putting something away for a rainy day.
You know, a friend of mine, one of his little savings methods is, and he uses his credit card and doesn't always pay it off. So whenever he's making a minimum payment, he puts an identical amount, minimum payment, in his savings account.
Yeah.
Just to remind him how much he's actually, you know, spending on his credit card, like as a minimum payment, and actually not making an impression on it. Interesting. Well, thanks again for coming in. Really appreciate it. I know you'll be back. Actually, you won't be back in 2 weeks because Doug Pollard's taking over the studio that day, but you will be back at another time. If you're going out to Melbourne Airport, just remember $1 million a day airports in Australia make from parking, and there is actually a new pickup area where you can actually stop for two minutes.
It's the only one I use these days.
Yeah, so if you are picking someone up, don't park on the side of the road because Vic Roads will ping you.
Use your mobile phone,
you know, do a couple of laps and come in and pick people up because I reckon $1 million a day for parking at airport is a bit outrageous. And we have 21 tweets, which is $105. Mark, have you tweeted yet?
I have.
Okay.
If you've just tuned in, Macca has volunteered to donate $5 for each tweet to SatMagJoy949 to our tech drive, which is fantastic. He's not a Twitter fan. Make him a Twitter fan, listeners.
It's just going to make me more opposed to it. Thank you once again, Mark Hawthorne, business editor of The Age and the Canberra Times. You're on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Katie.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Yeehaw! Did you ever do a yeehaw for a committee round? Go on, give me one.
Yeehaw!
There we go. Every time I hear this, I think of the guys in Bonanza.
Of course.
Did you have a favourite?
No, I wasn't a big fan of Westerns.
No? Okay.
No.
Well, April 14th isn't just when Doug Pollard takes over Joy for most of the day. It is minus 18's same-sex formal. You can come with your partner, your friends, gay or straight, and you can even come by yourself. Tickets are $35. Sponsored tickets are also available. And if you need more info, check out their website, all the W's, -18.org.au.
Melbourne Gay Men's Prostate Cancer Support Group is a confidential support group open to all gay men who have had a prostate cancer diagnosis. The group provides a safe, gay-friendly environment where issues relating to gay men and prostate cancer can be openly discussed. They meet on the first Thursday of each month at 6 o'clock till 7:30 in Melbourne CBD. For further information, please email gaymelbpca@hotmail.com or contact the Cancer Council helpline on 131120.
Now, the funeral of Pokies and Lay Girls legend Renee Scott will be held Wednesday, the 4th of April, at 2:30pm at Ormond Hall. And that's behind the Belgian Beer Cafe, 557 St Kilda Road. It's, you know where it is. So go along and play tribute to Renee Scott.
Bi Victoria is a social and support group for people who acknowledge attraction to more than one gender, their partners and friends. You don't have to be bisexual, just accepting and supportive. They're keen to create an environment that is friendly and welcoming, including to newly identifying people. A complete bisexual resource guide to Melbourne, everything a bisexual needs, whether you're out and about or still in the closet. For more information, visit their website, bi-victoria.org.au.
Hume Phoenix Inc. supports non-heterosexual people in the Albury-Wodonga area and surrounding regions. Hume Phoenix is dedicated to supporting gay, lesbian and bisexual people and their friends and family. Hume Phoenix's HIV/AIDS support group also provides social contact and support for local HIV-positive people in the local community. That support's often needed to remove the fear of isolation and social exclusion after a positive diagnosis. So take a look around the site to find out more about Hume Phoenix. It's humephoenix.com.au.
Okay, Equal Love, great organisation that they are. They're inviting you to a forum on the fight for marriage equality. That's what we were talking about with Doug Pollard before. The speakers include Ali Hogg, Carl Catter, Doug Pollard and more. That's on Monday the 16th of April, 7 o'clock in the Coolin Room above Joy here at 225 Bourke Street.
Now, if you haven't tweeted, every tweet you send to @satmagjoy949, I will pay $5, but I'll put a limit of $500. I know why I did this.
And it's one tweet per tweeter. Somebody's trying to send multiple tweets.
Yeah, no, I think not multiple tweets. No.
I think they think you're going to donate $5 for every tweet they send.
I might be stupid. Now, quickly, do you want to read a couple of the tweets out, Katie?
Yeah, it's
and it's for the tech drive.
It's for the tech drive. Okay, I'm going to read some of the tweets. Let's say, Macca is so wrong about Twitter, says Anna. He's up for $5.
$5.
Yeah, good on you, Anna. Matt says, Twitter has changed the way we interact with others and revolutionised the way we meet others. Thanks, Matt. That's fantastic. Jacob Lee, former Joy presenter, who now lives in Glasgow, he's tweeted us to say add another fiver to the pot. All my love to my Joy family in Melbourne. Back at you, Jacob. And Themi says, pay up, Macca.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Let's see. Somebody, Matt tweeted again to challenge his followers, saying that you think Twitter's antisocial, so they should all donate. You're taking us on.
Oh, look, I've got one here, but this is an SMS, but that's still good. Hi, Sat Mag. Dolly Diamond and I aren't up with all the Twitter stuff. Dolly's only just learnt to use the toaster. If there's any way this SMS can substitute for our lack of technology so that Joy can get $5, then count us in, Luke Gallagher. All right, Luke, I'll pay $5 for that. And really important here, if you don't know what Studio 4 is, have a look on our website. You can see a picture of the current studio, of current Studio 4. A picture tells 1,000 words. Well, a picture might tell $500.
Yes, and Mark Hawthorne, who was just in the studio with us, has tweeted, take cash from Macca, no checks.
No, I'm going to use cards so I get points. Okay, you're on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
And we'd like to welcome to the studio right now our kinesiologist, Kerry Boviso. Good morning, Kerry.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
How are you going?
Really well, thank you.
Now, look, if somebody out there doesn't know what a kinesiologist is, can you tell us in 25 words or less?
Yeah, sure. So kinesiology is based on principles of Chinese medicine, and we use quite a lot of counselling as well, and we use muscle testing to basically find imbalances in the body and to help to correct them.
Okay.
Oh.
So
I better stay away from you then.
So what kind of people come to kinesiologists for a diagnosis if you've got, say, muscle pains or just general ill health?
It's really varied. So sometimes people might come for physical issues, mm-hmm. and what they're usually trying to find out is what is the emotional connection with the physical issue that they might have. And also people often come for emotional concerns as well. So I have a lot of people who come with anxiety or depression, mm-hmm. or things like that, and they're really wanting to explore that and find out where that might be coming from.
Right. Mm. Cool. So going to... I've never been to a kinesiologist, I confess. I'm a big fan of massage. But so if you go to a kinesiologist, what happens?
So you're lying face up on a massage table. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing during the session is we are muscle testing, mm-hmm. and we're talking to you at the same time about what is coming up during the session. So we're muscle testing basically to find out what is it that's out of balance.
How do you test a muscle?
You? It's a little bit hard to describe without showing you, actually.
Do you manipulate it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we manipulate it. Okay. And so we're basically looking for stress in the muscle. So stress in the muscle shows as a weak muscle response. Mm-hmm. And when we get a weak muscle response, that just tells us that there is some stress. So that stress might be something emotional, it might be something physical, it might be biochemical, spiritual. Mm-hmm. So stress can be shown on lots of different levels. And so when we're working with people, we're explaining exactly what it is that's coming up and talking about that. And so helping them to get some more understanding about what it is that they're stressed about.
Mm. Okay. Mm.
I could have used some of that the other day. I had a bit of a stressful day. So, what is the, if there is a, just in general terms, is there an average sort of time that a session takes? Obviously, depending on what needs to be done, but how do people react to it initially? Is there a bit of people think, oh, I'm not sure about this, and then once they then become adherents? Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. So some people do have that a little bit of scepticism at the start, and then during the session, as things start to come up, and it can be things that are coming up based on connected to their past or particular emotions that are coming up, and so they'll find, wow, it's really quite accurate, and so that information that's coming up from my body, or people will say, well, my body doesn't lie. So
absolutely, yeah, that's the truth.
That's right. And so, yeah, people will often, by the end of a session, they'll feel a change usually already. So a typical session will go for an hour or an hour and a half.
And do people come until their problem is fixed, or do they come, like I go to my missus, whether or not I'm feeling pain in my body, I just do it as a sort of a thing that's good for my health to keep doing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Sometimes people come for something really quite specific.
Yep.
And so if that's the case, they'll come until that particular problem has been addressed, which will usually take just, at least a couple of sessions. Mm. But some people choose to come beyond that, like you're saying. So they might come every month or every 6 weeks over an extended period of time just to check in and to make sure that they are in balance. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Now, are you on Twitter?
I am.
Have you tweeted?
I did, yes.
Okay.
Brilliant. Well done.
Do I get $5 discount off my if I come and visit?
Absolutely. Anyone can have a $5 discount.
We're talking
mention that.
To Kerry Bell, who's a kinesiologist. It's fascinating the way that I think people have embraced alternative therapies or complementary therapies, as you might call them these days, as part of a holistic approach to health. I think there's not too many people these days who are sort of, oh, I will only go and see a medical doctor. They're willing to explore more.
That's right.
Options.
And particularly, sometimes people might have hit a bit of a block with that they've got to a certain point, and sometimes people will come because they haven't been able to get answers from medicine, and so they're looking to find out a bit more information.
It's fantastic that we've got all these options.
Isn't it?
So people might do yoga, or they might go to a massage therapist, as I do, or they might do Reiki, whatever.
That's right.
So kinesiologist is another one on this broad spectrum.
That's right.
It's fantastic.
Another option.
Excellent.
Well, great. Thanks for making the time to come and have a chat to us, and I'm going to come and get my $5 discount.
And, please do.
See if you can work on my shoulder here, which I'm actually having physio at the moment, but I'm not quite there yet.
Right.
This is Macca and Katie on SatMag Joy 949. Don't forget, we've got 24 tweets so far.
24? That's fantastic.
24 tweets. And we've got more coming up, but we're going to be speaking sport with Tanya, technology with David Eccles. We've got a comedian, and we have a Joy board member coming in to have a chat. Every tweet you send to @SatMagJoy949, I'll pay $5. $5. Limit of 500 for the day. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Katie, and it is our tech drive, and in a futile attempt to persuade me to use unsocial media, I have I said that I would pay $5 for each tweet that came to @SatMagJoy949 between 10 a.m. and noon. Well, I'm rescinding that. I'm going to make it $10,
woo!
Including the ones that have already come. How many have we got, Katie?
There are 26.
Okay.
26 tweets. Listeners, that's $260, Doug.
Stop calling me Doug. Stop calling me Doug. Oh,
terrible.
My God. Slap.
Slap me.
That's $260. I have put a limit of $500, okay? So we need another 24 tweets. Don't keep sending multiple tweets.
No, one tweet per person.
Matthew's pocket is vibrating constantly like a scene from AbFab. But $10 for every tweet to @SatMagJoy949. Now on the line, we're going to talk sporty stuff. Have you tweeted, Tanya?
Sorry, no, I haven't.
Tweet
to @SatMagJoy949, Tanya. How are you?
Very well, very well. How's both of you? You're enjoying your Saturday morning.
We are. Now let's do a nice bow, no pun intended, for Ben Cousins.
Yes. Well, isn't it interesting, all these controversies start at the start of the AFL season?
And, I find it very sad.
It is a bit. It is a bit.
A bit more than a bit for me. I find it more sad than anything.
Yeah, and look, you know, the poor guy obviously has an addiction problem and he's not dealing with it, obviously, as well as he can. Look, I hope he can get through it, but it's pretty sad. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, indeed. He's a methamphetamine addict, a known methamphetamine addict, and it's one of those situations where all the support in the world he needs at the moment, and going through rehab and things like that, he's in trouble with the police now, and he has to face the Perth Magistrates Court. He breached some bail conditions as well, so I think at the moment that his life is looking in turmoil, but it is disappointing. Eagles coach John Worsfold came out during the week and said the club is fully supportive of him, so he's got the support network there. Just let's hope that he can turn his life around one way or the other and get on and hopefully start a healthier life for his son and his girlfriend.
Absolutely, because he's in deep Twitter at the moment and he needs to get out of that. What else is happening in sport?
Yeah, well, we saw Hawthorn have a great 22-point win over Collingwood, a sweet revenge from the 3-point loss at the preliminary final last year. So good news for Hawthorn fans. They've got pretty big expectations this year, and I think I certainly did tip them, and I think they are opening in fine form, and particularly Buddy Franklin with 5 goals, just amazing, and Cyril Rioli having that spectacular mark as well. Sam Mitchell proving his worth as well with a best on-ground performance, and I think the Hawks, along with Geelong, are the two teams to beat this season. Collingwood with the new coach, and Nathan Buckley, certainly wasn't a good start to the season for Buckley, but I think Collingwood, once they get some top players back, they'll be forced to be reckoned with again because they have their captain out, Nick Maxwell, and a few other top-line players. So not a good start for Collingwood, but they'll be back. Collingwood fans shouldn't be too upset about that one.
Huge crowd again at the G last night. I was on a train going home from the city and I hit the footy crowds, and I hadn't caught up with the result, but I figured, because most of the people that got on my train, which is Epping and Hurstbridge and goes through Collingwood, most of them were Collingwood fans, and they were very quiet. So I figured Hawthorn had won.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, that's the way I could tell when I was living in Melbourne, in Richmond, no less, and just seeing people leave the MCG.
Yep.
I knew what team had won and what team hadn't. So particularly with Collingwood fans as well, they show it on their faces, don't they?
And I'm off to the G after SatMac to see Melbourne play Brisbane. I'm a Melbourne fan, and you know, they're having a minute for Jim Steins before the game this afternoon. It was going to be a minute's silence. They've changed that to a minute's applause.
That's nice.
Which is fabulous.
I've just got chills in my body then. Fantastic.
I know, yeah. Just fantastic. I went along to the state funeral on Tuesday. I took a day off work because I'm a big Melbourne fan, big Jim Steins fan. It's been quite sad for me over the last couple of weeks, and along with a lot of other people. And I was with the crowd in Fed Square this week, and it was really something.
Oh, absolutely. A great man, and the Melbourne Demons are certainly going to step up today and have a big win over Brisbane, I would say.
Let's hope so. Whatever motivation
you could have. And I did tip Brisbane a few weeks ago over Melbourne, and after the sad passing of Jim Steins, I've changed it to Melbourne because I think they'll come out firing. And, you know, it's one of those sad times in football, and I think people can learn a lot from what he did for football and society as well.
Yeah, no, I personally, I don't know about other people, but personally a friend of mine who's a big Geelong fan is coming along to the Melbourne-Brisbane game today with some Geelong friends just in honour of Jim, which is a fantastic thing to do, I think.
It just shows you what mark he had on everyone.
Yep.
And certainly Melbourne as a football club too are a fantastic family football club, and a lot of people have a great respect for the club. Such a history, and it was great to see them come out of the money doldrums that they had, and Jim Steins was a big part of that.
Yes,
so,
he was.
Yeah,
yep.
Sad for Melbourne, but they'll have a good win today, I would say.
Great. Thanks, Tanya.
Now, quickly, what else? What else in sport? What else is happening?
Well, we wanted to go over some tips for the matches this weekend. We've got Gold Coast and Adelaide. So Adelaide will be over Gold Coast, I would say. Fremantle are playing Geelong tonight in Perth, so I'll say Geelong for that one, unfortunately, because I'm a Dockers fan, and that's a big one for me to say. North Melbourne against Essendon at Etihad tonight as well. I'll go for the North Melbourne Football Club. The Bulldogs against Eagles tomorrow. Big controversy with the Eagles not picking some players, and they've got a lot of expectations this season. I'll go for the Eagles at Etihad, so that's a big tip. And I'll go for Port over St Kilda, even though they've got four new players making a debut tomorrow against St Kilda. So that's a big one. And cricket at the weekend, Macca, I'm sure that you'll be pleased to hear that I'm going to report on cricket.
I'm a big cricket fan.
Yeah,
we have to wrap it up,
yeah,
Tanya, unfortunately.
Give us 25 quick words on cricket.
Oh, well, yeah, Australia lost in the 2020 yesterday. So 1-1 and a big test series happening next weekend against the West Indies.
Fantastic. Thanks again, as always, and get your dog to tweet so I pay $10.
Will do, definitely.
Good to talk to you, Tanya.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 949. Tech Drive, $10 I'm paying for every tweet. It won't convert me to a twit, even though some people think I already am.
At SatMag, Joy 949, and we have 33 tweets so far. You can only tweet once.
Only tweet once. We need...
For $10.
I want 50. $500 I'll donate to the Tech Drive. So,
got another 45 minutes, people.
Yep.
We should be able to do it easily.
Keep it up there. You're on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, every week from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Joy Melbourne is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse lesbian and gay communities, enabling freedom of expression, the breaking down of isolation, and the celebration of our culture, achievements and pride.
Saturday Magazine, every week from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine with Macca and Katie. Don't forget, $10 for every tweet at SatMag Joy 949 I will pay towards our tech drive, and we're getting closer, we're getting closer.
So many tweets coming in.
I don't know. You all think this is going to convert me to Twitter. Well, it's not. It's going to drive me further away because it's costing me money.
I don't actually mind. I'll have your money instead of getting you on Twitter.
Okay.
Joy needs the money. Studio 4, we need to refurbish it so we can keep putting out our fabulous community service announcements and sponsorship messages.
Absolutely. Now, talking about money, one of the most successful companies in the world, Apple, has been having a little bit of a contretemps with the ACCC over whether or not iPad, whatever number it is. What number is it, David?
Third generation.
Whether it works on 4G. Now, David actually has one in a box here. Settle, Katie. And there's a sticker on the back that it says, important note, this product will operate on Telstra's 3G network, including high-speed DC HPSA plus technology in selected areas, but it is not compatible with Australian 4G LTE networks. Now, if you've bought one of these and it had this sticker on the box, we want to know, and we'd like to know when you bought it. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. You can phone 1300-JOY-949. You can 0427-JOY-949, but if you tweet it, $10 goes to the tech drive. David
Eccles,
tell us about... this thing.
Right.
First of all, if you do want a tablet on 4G, you buy a Samsung Galaxy Tab. You don't buy an iPad. And this goes back to basically to do with frequencies and hertz. So first we'll go back to the 3G story. When 3G came out, it was originally called UMTS, which stood for Universal Mobile Telecommunication System. There'll be a test later, so take notes.
Good trivia question, people.
Yep. Then the next generation of that was called HSPA, which was high-speed packet access. Then there was HSPA Plus, which for some reason was evolved high-speed packet access. And the fastest 3G network that's out there today, which is what all iPads that are connected with the T company run on, is called DCHSDPA, which is dual-cell high-speed data packet access. And what this is a channel going up, and a channel for uploads and a channel for downloads. It has a theoretical maximum speed of 42 megabits per second. Nobody is ever going to get that. And if you want to find out how fast your tablet device is connecting to the network, indeed your mobile telephony device is connecting to your cellular network, you can go to speedtest.net. And speedtest.net does a couple of things. It does a ping. It pings the nearest server and finds out what the response time is. It then does a packet upload and a packet download and measures how fast that actually does and gives you a speed response. In the CBD, you're looking at anything between 17 to 22 megabytes. And it's very interesting that CNET, one of the technology companies that's out there, did a test between Singapore, London, San Francisco and Sydney in terms of upload and download speeds using speed test. The fastest upload was San Francisco. The fastest download was San Francisco. The fastest upload was Sydney on this DC HSDPA network. So the only way you're going to get 4G at the moment with a tablet device is to buy a Samsung. And the reason for this all goes back to megahertz, believe it or not. The 4G network in Australia runs on the 4G with the new iPad runs on two frequencies, 700 megahertz and 21 megahertz. Guess what frequency we're using in Australia?
Not that one.
Correct. We're using 1400 megahertz and analog TV is currently broadcasting on 700 megahertz.
Oops.
And they can't use that until 2015. And even if they could, apparently it's not compatible for some reason that I still haven't been able to find out. So basically, the problem is at the moment with 4G is it's open slather. There is no global standard for saying what frequency we can broadcast for the 4G cellular network.
So basically the technology is outstripped.
Basically, it was open.
The capacity when there
was,
or whatever.
Yeah, when there was the frequency auctions, everybody just picked a particular frequency auctions. The US chose 1400. That's the largest market for Apple at the moment. And what is happening with that is that basically Apple are building to their home market, and that's exactly what's happening with that. So there is no global standard for 4G networks. They're trying to get one. Of course, in Australia, they're gunning pretty hard with all the other telecommunications companies globally to go for 1400. Because that's the network they're building.
Mm.
If they pick a new standard like 1700 or some other frequency band, we're going to find that we're going to have a new 4G network built. As we mentioned last time, 4G at the moment, the only people with a 4G network is Telstra, but Optus and Vodafone /3 are building 4G networks. So that's the lecture today. Your device, and as it says on my device, when I bought it on Thursday, when I was getting the skinny on 3G v 4G, they did such a good job that I actually ended up buying one, walking out the store with it. What a sucker!
So, Samsung obviously with their device have a bit of an advantage in the market for people that want it. But is the difference in speed between 3G and 4G going to be that great? To act, you know, in practice.
Yes, it is. I think it is going to be. I mean, the dual channel thing, or it's not called dual channel, it's called dual something or other, but I think of it as a dual channel. The
uppipe,
the downpipe, basically provides potential for 21 upload, 21 megabytes per second. We're forgetting the days of the 14K modem, you know, the 28K modem. We're forgetting the, you know, and that is not that long ago, okay? So
I don't want to remember those days. I really don't.
So I think what we've got today, I'm happy with the device, the way it's functioning. The minute you get to a wireless point, of course, the minute you're at a wireless point, you're going, you know, 4G or faster. And there's a theoretical hack where you could buy a 4G portable wireless device, and you can hook into that and get 4G speed. But that means you're carrying around two devices, and apparently the battery life's not that flash on it. So there are things available. The only time we're going to need to use the cellular network if we're not on a wireless network is when we're basically in transit from point A to point B or not at a wireless hotspot. Yeah. So that's really where we're at. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the NBN, very quickly, which is relevant, I suppose, for...
I'm not on the map for the... I am. Bastards.
I am. I'm the only person in my street with the tea company. All other seven households are connected to the NBN except me, because of the loopholes I'm having to go through with the lovely tea company to get connected. So everybody else is with a different vendor, and they're already blitzing away and having a great old time, and I'm still...
How does one find out if one's connected?
You can go to the NBN website, mm-hmm. and you can basically type in your postcode, yep. and address, and they've got plans. But they're planning to have 30% of Australians, not 30% of Australia, and that's a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
On the NBN by 2015, they've announced their future direction plan this week, which is better than the current less than 1% of the population that's got access to it. Brunswick was picked because it was a way to go. And the only other thing I want to talk about today is for the tweeter that has everything, there is something that they possibly will never have and probably never want, which is you can now get toilet paper called shitter.
Oh, we've already mentioned that in the show this morning.
And you can actually get customised feed printed onto it.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Well,
I mean, if you wanted to, you could get Tony Abbott's Twitter feed printed on it.
Oh, no, thank you.
Or Julia Gillard's.
I'm not sure if
but
I want
might,
anybody's...
Either you might think either that's appropriate might if you hate their tweets enough.
They might either of those might encourage you to use more paper.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, just quickly... I know you're a huge non-fan of BlackBerry, but...
No, I'm not. I've got a BlackBerry.
They've decided to go back to refocus on the commercial market.
Exactly, and that's the right decision for BlackBerry. The CEO that came in 10 weeks ago said we're going to continue with the existing path for the company, and then had a look at what was happening with the direction of the company, and has made a decision. And the press uniformly out of Silicon Valley this morning is 100% positive on the update, despite the fact that they're still tanking money left, right and centre. They're doing what they do best. BlackBerry is a device and a network designed for businesses, and that's where they should stay focused.
Thank you again, David Eccles, with his new iPad thingy.
Oh,
and he's going to go home and try and log on to someone who lives in his street who's on the NBN. This is Macca and Katie on Joy 949. $10 a tweet. Keep them coming. Oh, radio is so fast-paced, nearly as fast as my wallet is being emptied. In a futile attempt to distance myself from Twitter, I said I'd give $5 to each tweet that people sent in to...
SatMagJoy949.
See, look, I'm expunging it from my memory. I upped it to $10, and we are at...
40 tweets.
40 tweets plus...
That is fantastic,
plus
listen.
There's the $25 bonus if anyone tweets that they want to have coffee with a New Zealand comedian.
That is...
But they have to shout it out during the show, which means they have to go to the show.
One tweet per person.
Yeah,
one to SatMagJoy949, and that's money going to Joy from Macca's pocket. Do it.
Now we're
going to
have some melodious stuff, then come back and we're going to speak with Anthony Vitale, who is a Joy board member, and he's going to fill us in on everything.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9 with Macca and Katie, and Katie's not paying attention, she's looking at all the twits.
Well, because we're getting so many lovely tweets from people who want to raise money for Joy through your pocket.
Through the tech drive, that's right.
SatMagJoy949, $10 for each tweet.
$10, and I think we're up to 41 or 42.
And David Lim, who's another Joy presenter from Different Strokes, just tweeted us that he loved Jan Marie, the comedian we just had in.
She was hilarious, and $25 if you tweet that you're going to have coffee with her and go to her show and scream at her. Down at the Forum Theatre.
Absolutely. So many tweets. And just Kerry was our kinesiologist. She's tweeted and she says, thanks for having me, which is fantastic. Pete Dillon, all the Joy presenters are tweeting in Macca.
I know. There's a message there. Now, spotlight on Joy and a little regular session, and we talk to people or a person who is associated with Joy. Doesn't matter who they are. They could be a presenter. They could be anything. They could be a board member, for example. And today we have Anthony Vitale, and Anthony joined the board with a big handful of votes, I noted, at the AGM. And that's, oh, God, how long ago is that? 4 months, Anthony?
October last year, yeah.
So what I'd like to know is, first off, what brought you to Joy?
Morning, Macca. Morning, Kate.
Oh, yes, of course. Good morning.
What brought me to Joy? Look, long-time listener. From the outside looking in, lots of fun, brought a lot of fun to my days every day, and that was really kind of my draw card. Obviously, there's the connection to my community and all that type of stuff, and I think what I've said a million times is that sense of giving back. And so that's what drew me in. What's keeping me going, though, is a very different story. It's grown since then, and my perception has changed a lot. So when you start looking... When you step in and you look at it from a different perspective, my motivation's probably now more about giving, because there are so many other fellas giving to this station. I had absolutely no idea.
It's contagious, isn't it?
It's infectious. You're so right. It is so infectious and contagious. And you kind of feel like you need to keep giving, because it doesn't stop at the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't start at the board. The board's only as good as the team on the floor, and there are hundreds of them. Hundreds of them that... And my friends struggle with this concept probably the most, is that there's not even a handful of paid people here. Mm. The rest of them volunteer their time from very busy, busy lives, and that's the stuff that gets you in on mm-hmm. a 6:30 after a full day at work to chair your committee or write a bit more of a paper.
Indeed, indeed. And, I mean, I'm a long time, as Macca is, a long time Joy volunteer. And I keep coming back just because the people are so great. You meet so many interesting people of all ages, all walks of life, and all sexualities.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing about it. I think, we're very lucky, very lucky.
Now, in terms of, you would have had an expectation or an idea what Joy was like.
Mm.
And you sort of touched on that. I suppose that, you know, your level of involvement has gone up.
Mm.
How would you characterise Joy if someone asked you, what's Joy about? Obviously, it's a radio station, but what's Joy about? How would you explain it to them?
What's Joy about? I think there are two levels I'm seeing. I'm seeing the community participation, and so that's through volunteers and board members and what have you, and that's a reflection of what our community wants. From a decision maker's point of view, what I have noticed is that we spend most of our time trying to understand what the community wants from us. So we're really trying to make the most well-informed decisions, and I suppose we spend most of our time trying to figure out what direction the community wants us to take.
And that's a hard thing, because when we say the community, we all know that the community is made up of a whole lot of other communities.
Absolutely. There are sub-communities. That's right. That's right. You're totally right. And so most of the time what we do, and what I've noticed in my very young 6 months here, is that that's what we're trying to do the most of, trying to figure out the dynamic and what they want from us.
It's so hard to please everybody, isn't it?
It is. Look, Breed mentioned, I think it was a long time ago, shortly after I'd started, is that you're not in for the glory. You're here to represent your community.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so right, and I think about that every time I step in here. It's not about that at all.
Yep. Mm.
Now, recently, one of the pieces of work that the board's worked on, and a lot of our volunteers have worked really, really hard on, is a social media policy.
That's right.
And I suppose one of the reasons this has evolved is social media, whilst it's been around, I don't know, let's say 2 or 3 years.
Oh, a bit longer than that.
Probably a bit longer.
Go on.
But it's really crept up on us.
It has.
And as a station that engages with community and has listeners, you know, that are not even in their teens, and those the more senior members of our community that are older even than Katie than me, that social media is a huge part of what we do. But we needed a social media policy, didn't we?
We did, Macca.
Tell us
a
bit about that.
I will. I think I'll start by saying one thing is I don't think I got the easiest policy to drive when I was trying to win friends and influence people in my first 6 months. It's been a bit of, I wouldn't say a challenge, it's been a great way to navigate through the ranks of Joy.
Interesting.
To figure out. It has been. It's helped me figure out a lot of things, a lot of positions people take, and that's been great. We are diverse in terms of our positions and in terms of our community. But we needed a social media policy. And let me just start by saying that we are for social media use, 100%.
And social media doesn't just mean Facebook and Twitter.
No.
It actually means everything on the internet.
That's right.
That we do.
Yeah. That's right. Because once it's out there, it's out there.
Yep.
And so my personal view of social media is that as a society, we've become so much more comfortable with sharing our thoughts. It's almost like a diary, really. And when you start talking about applying guidelines around that type of freedom, it can be a bit difficult and a bit challenging to implement. So the key message I really want to send out about a social media policy is that we're for it. We want to learn how to maximise it and grow it. But we do, where users, presenters are affiliated with Joy, we just want to come to some type of agreement on how we could best use it. Coupled with that, though, there is a strategy, a social media strategy, that's, I think, critical to the business end of Joy. And that's really our long-term plan on how to grow Joy through social media.
Yeah.
And that's things like, spreading the word. Social media, if you don't capitalise on it, really getting left behind these days.
I'm not really a Luddite with it. It's just that I actually...
But you can pick and choose which bits you want to engage
with. I have enough time enough time and struggle with the traditional media in my job.
Yes.
And there are other people in the organisation that deal with the social media. I do see the value in it, but I think one of the dangers in this new medium is, and we were talking about it earlier, is that people can lose perhaps a sense of perspective and will say things that they wouldn't say to you face-to-face.
Well, it's like that diary. Go back to that concept of a diary. No, you're right, Macca, I get that entirely. And that's where the guidelines come in. It's not about policing. It's just about saying if there is an association, we just need to be like-minded about.
That's the key, isn't it? It's not policing.
It's not. Yeah. We're not policing, not monitoring. We just really want to be like-minded about our approach.
Yeah.
When we're associated.
And it's also interesting, I've found through being involved with this too, is that social media policies are quite new things.
They are.
A lot of organisations don't have them yet.
No, you're very right.
And so we're actually quite on the cutting edge here.
You're right. And a lot of the organisations that do have it are constantly reviewing it, but they come at it from, and this is the only way I can grasp it, a harm minimisation perspective. Mm. It's not you will not. Mm. It's just please consider.
Yep.
Look, it's been interesting, really interesting, and we've got a 10-strong committee, social media committee, and our first point of order is to review our policy, interim policy, which I committed to reviewing by the 1st of June. I've got a heap of feedback so far, which has been great. We'll table all of that next week, and we'll issue our final policy and obviously ongoing review of it very shortly.
Great. Well, thanks again for coming in on a Saturday. Good luck with the review. I'm sure it's going to bring up some interesting moments.
It will.
Anthony has recently joined the board at Joy, and thanks for coming in for the Spotlight on Joy on Saturday Magazine.
Thanks for having
me. Hope you had a good time.
I do.
This is SatMag with Katie and Macca. We'll be back.
Saturday Magazine, every week from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
I'm feeling very, very poor. 46 tweets we've had, which means I'm up for $460. Let's make it $500 by the time the news finishes, because after the news, we have detours with Jodie and Greg. And what do you got on today, Jode?
Well, we've got a fantastic show. Of course, we're going to try and reach our target this weekend for Tech Drive. Our target is $15,000, and we'll be trying very hard. There's a precedent set from SatMag. our special guests today are Mike and Darren, talking about their performance in a Gilbert and Sullivan opera in an international festival in the UK, and they did two shows, so we'll hear all about that.
Fantastic.
We've also got a great prize, and you'll have to stay tuned to hear more about that.
Get your tweets in, listener. One more minute. SatMag Joy 949 is the Twitter address to send a tweet, and Macca will donate $10 to Joy's Tech Drive.
I'll extend it to the end of the news.
To the end of the news, so you've got another 5 minutes, listener.
Now, we're going to go really, really quickly. Katie, great to have you back. Hope you're going to be coming back again.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye from me.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.